Hi, I'm Chris. You're about to travel to a place of wonder, excitement, and discovery. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey. It's a busy Saturday afternoon here in the little theater at Wits End. Whit and the gang are getting ready to rehearse a play for tomorrow night's church service. Let's listen.
Connie, are we ready to go?
Not quite. Jerry Webster isn't here yet.
Well, it's early. We'll wait a few minutes more.
Okay, that's good, because that'll give me time to check the props and sound effects.
Mr. Whitaker!
Yes, Lucy?
I forget. When I first come in, am I supposed to go right or left?
To the left, I think.
Thanks.
Whit, do you want to use these lights for this rehearsal?
Well, we're using all the props and the effects, so I guess so.
Well, it's just that we're going to be performing this thing at the church tomorrow, and
so
the lights there are different than what you got here.
Hi, Mr. Whitaker.
Oh, hi, Jack. Just a minute, please. I'm sorry, Connie. I couldn't hear the last part.
I said we're going to be performing this play at the church tomorrow, and the lights there are different than what you've got here.
Well, that's all right. They'll work for today.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Jack.
That's okay. What are you guys doing?
Well, we're getting ready to rehearse a little play I wrote.
A play?
Yeah. Excuse me again, will you? Connie, would you get that, please?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
What's the play for, Mr. Whitaker?
It's for church service tomorrow night.
When did the church start doing plays on Sunday night?
Well, the pastor announced it quite a while ago.
Oh, yeah, I guess it's been a couple of weeks since I've been.
Yeah, I noticed. Any particular reason?
I've just been kind of busy lately, with school and stuff.
Oh, I see.
I really love plays. I've even been in a couple. Can I watch the rehearsal?
No, you can't.
And why not?
Because there isn't going to be any rehearsal. That was Jerry's mom on the phone. He's not going to be here. He's sick.
It's nothing serious, I hope.
No, his mom thinks it's just nerves. She said he'd be there tomorrow, but she wants him to stay in tonight.
But how are we supposed to have a rehearsal without a lead character?
We can't.
Now, wait a minute. Who says we can't?
Mr. Whitaker.
Just because Jerry isn't here doesn't mean the rest of us can't go on. All we need is a stand-in, and I just happen to know where we can find one.
Me?
If you don't mind.
Mind? I'd love to.
Good. Well, here's the script. Just read the part marked John, huh?
All right.
Okay. Well, I guess that means places, everyone.
All right.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Now remember, even though Jack is standing in for Jerry, this is still our last rehearsal before we perform tomorrow. So everyone needs to do their best, okay?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. The story you are about to see isn't true, but it could happen. It takes place just about anywhere and anytime, and it involves a young man named John Lafitte. John was a member of a group called the Brotherhood of Dutiful Youth, or the Body for short.
B-O-D-Y? Body. Get it?
Yes. Now, the Body was made up of both young men and women, and it had quite a noble purpose, to help other people. The leader of the Body was an older man named Headley, and once every week, he and John and all the other members met to talk about their work.
All right, everybody, quiet down while I call roll. Doroth Lipman?
As per usual, I'm right in my place with a bright, shiny face, Mr. Headley, and on behalf of the others, I'd just like to say what a pleasure it is for all of us to be here.
Thank you, but a simple here would have done, Miss Lipman. I see clearly.
Here, and it's nice to see you.
Well, it's nice to see you too, Miss Cleary. Are you listening?
I hear you, boss.
Good, Mr. Listening. Hans Armstrong?
Yeah, I'm here. I think.
You're here, Hans.
Oh, thanks.
John Lafitte?
Here.
Oh, good. And Brian Headley? Oh, yes, I'm here too because I saw myself come in. So much for the roll call. Now for the minutes.
Mr. Headley?
Yes, Miss Lipman.
Okay, I move that we dispense with the reading of the minutes, if that's all right with everybody else. I mean, we all know what we've done in the past, you know, so why do we have to do it over and over and over again and again? I mean, it seems kind of self-serving and egotistical, you know what I mean? Do you, huh? Do you?
Yes, Miss Lipman. I do understand, and I agree. Let's dispense with the minutes. Now, does anybody have anything for us today?
Mr. Headley?
Yes, Mr. Lafitte?
I think we should do something to help the needy people. You know, the poor and people without homes or food.
Very good, John. Does anyone have any suggestions?
Well, first we have to find them, right? I mean, it's no good trying to do something for people if you don't know where the people are, you know? So maybe what we should do first is to have someone sort of look out for the needy, you know, just kind of watching to see where they are, maybe, huh? Maybe?
Well, yes, I think that's a good idea, Miss Lipman.
I'll do that, Mr. Headley.
Oh, well, John, that's very nice of you to offer. But I think watching is more your line of work, isn't it, Icy?
Yes, it is, Mr. Headley.
But she always gets to be the lookout.
Well, that's only because she's so good at it, John. Remember, it was Icy who first spotted those poor people we helped last month, and that stranded family we helped the month before that?
Yeah, I remember.
Now, after Icy spots them, what do we do then?
Well, I personally think we need to talk to them. Open the lines of communication, you know what I mean? I mean, they're probably really depressed and down and everything, and I know when I'm really down, nothing cheers me up faster than a good talk, you know? You know, huh?
I know.
But that's only half of it, isn't it, Mr. Headley?
What do you mean, are you?
Well, it's not enough for us to just talk to them. We've got to hear what they have to say, too, don't we?
Well, I was wondering when you'd bring that up, are you? And both you and Miss Lipman are absolutely right. We do need to talk and listen to the needy.
Oh, let me do that, Mr. Headley. I'd be great at it, really.
Oh, yes, John, I'm sure you would. But I think those jobs are really more suited for are you and Miss Lipman, don't you?
Yeah, I suppose.
Very well. After we've talked with them and learned what they have to say, then what?
Well, we'll do whatever they need, of course.
Like what, for instance?
Oh, I know! Like repairing their houses, or fixing their plumbing, or mowing their lawns,
yes.
Or chopping firewood, or moving furniture,
yes.
Or mopping floors, or painting walls, or repairing their cars. Well,
yes,
except they're probably too poor to have cars, so we couldn't really repair them. But if we could, couldn't we, Mr. Headley?
Yes, Miss Lipman, we certainly could.
Those are things I'd really be good at, Mr. Headley.
Well, John, you know that Hans Armstrong here has had a lot more experience at that kind of work than you have. I think maybe we'd better let him handle it. Is that okay with you, Hans?
That's fine with me, Mr. Headley. Yep, no problem. Yep.
Good.
But if Icy is going to watch for them, and Miss Lipman and R.U. are going to talk and listen to them, and Hans is going to do all their repairs, what am I supposed to do?
Well, we're going to need someone to take us out to the homeless people after Icy has spotted them.
But that's what I do every time. I'm always taking people here, picking them up from there. I want to do something different.
Now, John, you know our organization operates best when everyone does what they're really good at.
Yeah, I know.
All righty, then. What we'll do is meet back here tomorrow morning and...
Even though John Lafitte understood, he wasn't very happy. After the meeting, he and I.C. clearly talked about it on the way home.
I.C.?
Yes?
Do you ever get tired of going to these meetings?
Every once in a while. But then I think about all the people we help, and I'm not tired anymore. Why?
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes, well, a lot of times, I get real tired of it.
You do? You used to like it a lot.
I know, but that was when I was a kid. Now that I'm getting older, I really don't know why I keep coming.
But John, you come so you can help people.
But there are lots of ways to help people. I don't have to come here to do it.
Then where would you go?
Well, I don't know. Nowhere, maybe. Or maybe I'll just help people by myself. Or maybe I'll start my own group. Yeah! I'll bet there are lots of people like me who always do the same thing and who want to try something different.
I don't know if that's a very good idea, John.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'll show you. When you meet everyone tomorrow morning, tell them that I quit.
Quit? But John, you can't.
I just did. Bye, Icy.
John! Oh, no!
We'll find out what happens to John Lafitte and the body when our adventure in Odyssey continues right after this. And now the conclusion of today's adventure in Odyssey.
And so the next morning found a very excited John putting together his own group, which he called the Lafittes. He was right about one thing. There were a lot of people out there who felt just like he did. And before long, he and his new followers were making their way downtown to find people who needed help.
This is great! We're gonna help so many people! Now, let's see. The first thing we gotta do is keep an eye out for them.
That's just what they did, for several weeks, in fact. They moved up and down the streets, watching and watching and watching. But try as they might, they just couldn't seem to find anybody who needed help. The only person they saw day after day was a well-dressed man who just sat on a bench. That gave John an idea.
That guy sits there every day, so he probably knows this neighborhood really well. Maybe he can tell us where we can find people who need help. Hi.
Hello.
My friends and I couldn't help noticing that you sit here a lot.
Yeah, well, it's because I kind of live here. I know that sounds weird, but see, a couple of weeks ago my house burned down with all my money and everything I own in it. The only thing I was able to save was this suit. Because I work out of my home, the fire destroyed my income, too, so this bench is really the only place I have to go.
Oh. Well, see, we're here to help people.
You are?
Yeah, and we were wondering, since you're here a lot, if you know where we can find any.
Find any what?
Any people who need help.
No, I don't, but if I see any, I'll let you know.
Really? Oh, that's great. Thanks a lot. Well, we gotta go. See you around.
Yeah, right.
Needless to say, nothing ever came of that. Several more weeks passed, and John and his Lafittes became more and more discouraged. Then one day, they noticed that the well-dressed man wasn't sitting on the bench. They went into a nearby diner where they always had lunch and asked Marge the waitress about the man.
It ain't the Lafittes. How are you?
Oh, great.
Not so great, Marge.
Oh,
sorry to hear that. You guys want your usual?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not hungry.
No, neither are we.
Actually, we were wondering if you knew what happened to the well-dressed man who used to sit on that bench.
You mean Mr. Davenell?
Yeah.
They made him leave.
They who?
The authorities. They said that bench was there so people could sit and wait for the bus, not for him to live on.
Live on? You mean that bench was where he lived? He didn't have a home?
No. He lost that and everything else he had in a fire. Didn't you know that?
Well, now that you mention it, he did say something about a fire when we first met.
Yeah, I remember him.
But
I mean,
if that's
fire,
true,
fire.
Then why did he promise to tell us if he came across anyone who needed help?
Yeah, why?
If anybody around here needed help, it was Mr. Dananap. You probably just didn't hear him right.
No, I guess we didn't. Any idea where he is now?
There's no telling.
I can't believe it. Not only did we not spot the one person around here who needed help, but we also blew it when it came to talking and listening to him, too.
Well, listen, if you're still looking for someone to help, I could use some.
Really?
What?
What?
Well, it's my sister. She...
You want us to look for her?
No, I already know where she is.
Oh,
it's just
then you
that...
want us to talk to her?
Oh,
to
repair
her house?
No, see, she hasn't been feeling very well.
And you want us to take care of her?
Take care of her.
No, she went to a doctor, and he gave her some medicine and told her to rest. But she has 5 hungry kids.
And you want us to make them some food?
No, I already took care of that.
So, just how do you want us to help?
Yeah, how?
Well, I need someone to take the food over to them.
Not again.
Oh. See, she lives all the way across town, and I gotta stay here.
We're back to delivery work.
If you don't mind.
No, that's okay. We don't mind. Come on, guys, grab the food. Let's go.
And so the Lafittes made the journey across town to deliver the food to Marge's sister. But after they had delivered it, they noticed something very peculiar.
You know, that felt really good.
Yeah, sure did.
I mean, I really felt like I was helping someone. I haven't felt that way since I left the body. Since I left the body. No wonder nothing's been working. I've been trying to do things I'm not any good at. I've been so dumb. Thanks a lot, guys. Well, I'm not going to be dumb anymore. I'm going back.
And so, John broke up the defeats and raced back as fast as he could to the little building where the body lay.
Mr. Headley! Hans! It's John Lafitte! I'm back! Are you? Miss Lipman! It's me! I've come home! Hey, where is everybody? Come to think of it, where's all the furniture? What's going on here?
John? John Lafitte, is that you?
I see! Oh, it's so good to see you again!
You came back, but I thought you were going to start your own group.
I tried to, and I really messed things up. I realize now that I should do what I'm good at instead of trying to do what other people are good at.
Oh, John, if only you'd realized that sooner.
Yeah, well, the important thing is I know it now. Listen, where is everyone? I want to get back to work.
They're all gone, John.
Gone? You mean like out helping people?
No, I mean gone as in left, moved. The body has been broken up.
Broken up?
Yeah. I just came back here to get the last of my stuff. Everybody has gone on to different jobs. Hans joined the circus as their strongman. Mr. Headley now works for a computer company. Miss Lipman is a telephone operator, and RU edits radio program. And I'm a lifeguard at the beach.
But why? The body was so good at helping people. Why did it have to break up?
Because when you left, there was no one to take us to people who need help. We can't help people if we can't get to them.
You mean just because I wasn't here?
The body couldn't do what it was supposed to.
But can't we get back together?
It's too late. Goodbye, John.
But...
Goodbye.
No!
And so the Brotherhood of Dutiful Youth dissolved. And even though each of the members went on to different things, they all were a lot sadder. For where once there was a group that helped people, now there was just an empty room. The body in it had died.
Okay, everybody, that's it.
All right.
Good rehearsal, everyone.
All right, you guys, let's start breaking down the sets and putting them in the van so we can
take them
to church.
Mr. Whitaker.
Oh, Jack, thank you very much for standing in. You were great.
Thanks. I really like doing it, but I'm kind of confused.
Oh, about what?
Well, this play ends on a real downer. You sure you want to do it for church?
Yes. Church members are just the people who should see it.
Why?
Because it's about them.
But you said at the beginning that it wasn't a true story.
Yes, but I also said it could happen.
How?
Well, how did it happen in the play?
Well, one of the members of the group stopped going to the meetings, so the group couldn't do what it was supposed to do.
That's right. And when people don't go to church, it can't do what it's supposed to do either.
But in the play, each member of the body did something special. They all had to work together to get anything done.
And that's just the way it is with the church. You see, Jack, 1 Corinthians 12:27 says that Christians are Christ's body. Verse 18 says that God has placed each one of us in the body just where he wants us to be. Now, a lot of people are like John Lafitte. They don't like where God has put them. Instead of being a foot, they'd rather be a hand or a head. After a while, they start feeling like they're not really getting anything out of the church, so they stop coming. But what they don't understand is the only way you can get something is by giving something.
Like what?
Like yourself. Find out what part of the body God has made you into, and then do what that part is supposed to do. And when you do that, and do it cheerfully, well, going to church will be a whole new experience.
Hey, Will, you're going to have to come and show us how you want this stuff loaded on the van.
Okay, I'll be right there.
Oh, and Jack, I just saw your mom drive up.
Okay. Well, I gotta go, Mr. Whitaker, and thanks for letting me be in your rehearsal.
You're welcome, Jack. Oh, and Jack?
Yes, sir?
See you in church tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll see you in church tomorrow, Mr. Whitaker.
Good.
In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25, the Apostle Paul wrote that there should be no division in Christ's body, the church, but that each of its members should care for one another equally. And verse 26 says, if one part suffers, all the parts should suffer. And if one part is happy, then all the parts should be happy. That's another reason we should go to church regularly, so we can learn to care for each other, to hurt when someone else is hurting, and to feel good when someone else is feeling good. That's what being a part of a church body is all about. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. Today's program was written and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Dave Arnold, and our executive producer, Chuck Bolte. And I'm Chris. Join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.